You're listening to a Left Lion podcast.
Welcome to episode 11 of the Left Lion Interviews podcast. My name is Sophie Gargett and I am the editor at Left Lion magazine. And today I'm delighted to introduce our guest, Laquan Lewis. Laquan is a rising actor who studied at Nottingham's Television Workshop. And he's also starring in a new BBC Three drama called What It Feels Like for a Girl. Based on a book by the same name by Knox-born journalist and writer Paris Lees, it's inspired by Paris's own story of growing up in Hucknall as a queer teen. The show is set in the early 2000s and follows Byron, who longs to escape the confines of a small town life and gets swept up in the heady world of the city's LGBTQ nightlife, where androgyny, rebellion and intoxication rule. Through meeting a gang of fallen divas, as they're called in the show, Byron eventually finds the freedom to live as a woman, but not without some significant bumps in the road along the way. Laquan gives a stunning performance as Lady Di, Byron's loyal, glamorous and wild friend, and he's with us today to discuss the show and its deeper themes.
We know it's hard having to wait a whole month in between Left Lion magazines. Heck, it's difficult enough getting through the week. Worry not, listener, we've answered the call. You can get a pithy, up-to-date digest of the best stuff going on in Nottingham each week direct to your inbox every Wednesday by signing up to the Left Lion Weekly newsletter. Left Lion Weekly contains our top recommendations of events, new content, exclusive competitions and more besides. So what are you waiting for? Visit leftline.co.uk/newsletter to sign up now.
So, welcome to the podcast. It's a big pleasure to have you here. How are you doing,
Laquan? Thank you for having me here. Honestly, I'm doing amazing. Obviously, you've seen the show, so you know what I've been up to.
Yes.
And yeah, I'm just sort of having the time of my life with it, really.
Excellent. So, it's been a little bit hush-hush, but the series is finally getting aired on the BBC on the 3rd of June, and I got a little sneaky preview, which was great. I absolutely loved the show, and I feel like it's got potential to be huge.
Thank you.
Some of the vibes I got from it, you know, we can go into this a little bit later, but, you know, it's got a little bit of Skins in it, and it's got a little bit of adolescence. That's quite a big thing at the moment.
Yes, definitely. It's literally got Hannah Walters in it as well.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, a little bit of like It's a Sin kind of thing. You know, there's lots of different things that will draw people in. What's the reception been like so far? And are you happy to finally get a chance to talk about the show?
Yeah, no, honestly, we were waiting and we were trying to push the BBC as much as we could to just say, like, look, can you please release the information now so that we can actually tell the world about it? But obviously they had a plan, so we waited and now the time has come. And honestly, the reception has been amazing from people that we know, like our peers, our family, the wider audience, strangers, everything. Everyone's just, they seem so excited to watch this show. And it's like, oh my God, thank you so much, because we honestly put our all into this. And it's a very rare story. A very unique one as well. So the fact that I've had the opportunity to be a part of it is just like, what the flip.
Amazing.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, I think people are really going to enjoy it. I think it has so much to say. So I'm really excited to see how the bigger response comes. So just in terms of yourself, so you started acting at Television Workshop.
Yes.
Which is a Nottingham-based acting workshop for young people, and it's given rise to some amazing actors from Nottingham, so Samantha Morton, Vicky McClure, Bella Ramsey.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about how you got into acting? Was it something you always wanted to do?
Yeah. Well, the funny story is, when I was probably, well, I don't know, I want to say about 11 years old, I did audition for the workshop, and Ian actually, he turned me away. But to be honest, I just wasn't ready. Like, I really wasn't ready. So I had to spend some years to, you know, just build up my confidence. And then when I was 17, I left school and I was like, oh my goodness gracious me, there's no GCSE drama anymore. I've literally got no acting. So what do I do? I went to workshop and then I did a play with Ian straight away, and it was Peter Pan, which Left Lion came to support. Left a review on that as well, which I love and appreciate you for. And then I did that play, and then from there it's just been, you know, I got a CBBC, I got a role on a CBBC show called Jamie Johnson from that, and I did a couple seasons on that, and now here we are filming What It Feels Like for a Girl. Like, it's kind of just taken off. But with the workshop, it's like, honestly, my mum used to go there as well, which is not many people know that. She did like her bits in Casualty, and she had a film called The Girl with Brains in Her Feet. I will expose my mum right now, you know. but she did all of this, and so I think I just take after her, really. Mm. And I've always liked TV and film and stage, and took part in it as a kid, did all the school plays and that. So yeah, it's just kind of inside of me, and then Ian has really took me under his wing throughout. So this is all I've ever wanted, really.
Yeah, so it seems like quite a natural progression.
Yeah.
Literally. So what was your experience at the workshop like? Do you think it set you up well for TV, and would you go into theatre, or are you sort of...
But it's only because I'm one of those actors where it's like, honestly, give me the role, let me audition for it. Do you know what I mean? Because it's like, I mean, some people have their favourite kind of roles, and then the ones who go to their agent and ask, you know, oh, could you put me up for something like this? It's like, yeah, I do that sometimes. But most of the time, something will come through and I'm like, yeah, let me have a crack at it. Do you know what I mean? Because it's a role, and I just love playing all sorts of different characters. It's a challenge each time, and it freshens up the palette. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. What was the interview process like? Because obviously you're not born and bred, more or less.
Yeah.
So it's perfect, you know the city, you know. did you have to audition?
Well, it was really, really long. Really, really long. My first audition was in June. And then I found out I got the role in March the next year. So, you know, I'd done many, many rounds. I'd met so many different people and was fighting. My anxiety was, like, through the roof. Like, it was crazy. I got food poisoning in that course of time. I was falsely arrested as well. Yeah, literally on my way to an audition. Yeah. It was the craziest 10 months of my life, or what have I, 9-10 months of my life. But do you know what? The fact that it lasted that long, I had that character down. Like, by the time we started filming, I knew who Lady Di was. I'd also had the time to meet the real Lady Di. So I got to ask questions, you know, I got to just see who she was. It was a process that just gave me many opportunities because it lasted so long, and that all helped me get the role, so I'm grateful.
So you're kind of living it for a while, just in getting into that, you know, that mindset and stuff.
Yeah.
So we're going to go back into your character shortly, but so Paris Lee is one of the writers and producers. Did you get to work with her much?
Yes.
Yeah, and how much sort of... sway and input did she have on set, or that kind of thing?
Well, obviously she's here, there and everywhere, because she's writing, she's exec producer, she's got so many roles in this, because it's her life story, it's her baby, you know. But the fact that she was so consistent with myself and the other actors in terms of saying, you know, even if it was like a okay, well, at this point in my life, I was like this, or just so you know, I was really kind of bratty when I was younger, you know. All these things that she gives us helps us add to the characterization that we have to show, and she sort of just gave us all the backstory that we needed. Context is what you need for a story, and she gave us every single detail. And not only that, she's just fun, do you know what I mean? yes, there's dark moments in the show, but this show is fun as well when the girls are together and they are just loving each other and enjoying themselves, being them. It's fun, and that really is Paris. Like, she can do both. She can really do both. She can help you with the job, and then she can help you as a friend. And it's great. It was great to have her there because she knows it the best as well. Honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's nobody better than the source.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's that sort of unsaid stuff, I guess, that goes behind a lot of roles that isn't necessarily something, a line in the story or that kind of thing, that actually just adds that depth to it. So it's good to get her.
You've got any questions? She's right there.
Yeah.
What do you mean? The person who made it is right there to answer the question that you have. Well, of course they've got the answer.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. That's what I love about having the writers around and the just the creators, because it's like they know the reasoning behind what is in the script.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the show's set in the early 2000s, which for me seems like a minute ago. And there's lots of details in like the fashion and the culture and the music that are just so on point. Like, there was just a scene where Byron and Lady Di are chatting and Lady Di's organising CDs into the right cases.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I remember that little task that we had to do back in the day. So it was really fun to see that, like, also that final period of history where, before phones took over, where, you know, you're waiting for someone and you don't have something to occupy you. So what was it like getting, was it fun to get stuck into that era?
Yeah, no, honestly, it really was. But, I mean, I'm quite young. I wasn't really able to understand what was going on or, you know, I can't even remember too much from back then. I was born 2001, so for me, it wasn't like a nostalgic thing to step into that era. It was more of like, oh my God, so this is what it was like. Do you know what I mean? Everything's just so much longer. Mm-hmm. Like even the fact that there are CDs and there's not just like a little MP3 player. Because I think that's like my first music player was an MP3. It wasn't like, we're putting the disc in or we're doing this. Do you know what I mean? And then it's like, the phones, the little Nokia brick things, which everyone uses as trap phones nowadays, but it's like the fact that they were people's main phones back in the day and you have to type the same letter multiple times to get to what you want. It's like, no thank you. Like, that stuff was crazy. And also, like, the costume, the fashion back then, amazing. You know, with like the belly tops, the belly chains, the leopard print, those types of things. Then you've got the makeup was very thin eyebrows. Did you see what they did to my eyebrows?
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
Shaved or
threaded them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they took me to the lady and she just yanked them out. I was crying, you know.
Yeah.
I was crying. And the hair and makeup designer was just sat there laughing. I couldn't believe it. So, but they've grown back all right.
Yeah, absolutely.
They've grown back all right.
Yeah, it's strange going through, like, I guess it's 20, 25 years ago, and, like, I remember that there's a transition over time, but it feels like a second ago, and it feels like a long time ago. You know, things like the slow internet connection, there's a scene where it's just, like, they're just waiting, sat waiting for ages for something to load, and, like...
Oh, where the guy's sending them the picture of his...
Yeah.
No, that's... That scene, the suspense is crazy. Because even, obviously, I'm not in that scene, so I didn't even see it until it's all been done and we can all get together and have screenings. So then I'm watching it, and I know what's coming, but I want to see it. I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
It was disgusting, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you don't want to see it either, do you? It's sort of a bit of both.
No, but if it looked nice, I wouldn't have minded. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it looked horrible.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
dear. Right, so your character, Lady Di, who I absolutely loved. She's one of Byron's best friends, and she's described as, like, the premier podium dancer come Hellraiser.
Yes.
I saw that description. She's very glamorous, she's a bit naughty, but she's very loyal and loving, and I think she's really good for Byron in a lot of ways. So how did you get into character? Tell us a little bit about Lady Di.
Oh, honestly, in my opinion, and I will say this to the day I die, she is the friend that everybody needs. Lady Di is that loving, caring, beautiful, alluring, you know, she's that girl that you're just drawn to, and it's because she carries herself with this light, and even through her own dark times, which she has, you will see that, she manages to put on a brave face and make sure she's there for other people, you know. So her story arc is really nice because you sort of see a change in Di in terms of her sort of self-worth and putting herself first and things like that. We get to see a beautiful change and then she finds herself even more, you know. But I think, especially when you're young, you're trying to find out who you are, you're trying to explore your identity. And that's a great thing about Di, because she does that and she helps other people do that as well, which is why Byron definitely needs her.
Mm-hmm.
But mainly she needed herself, and I think we see a nice journey of that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, you see a little glimpse into her home life, which is quite different from Byron's.
Yes.
And I think that the sort of self-worth that she has possibly comes from that, and that's why she's able to be a good friend, because she knows her worth, you know.
I mean, with Byron's family situation, it's a very toxic household. Di's is very, from what we can see or get an understanding of, is the complete opposite. It's very much accepting. So I think it definitely shows the differences, because Di isn't, yes, she's crazy, and they all do some chaotic, rebellious, mad things, you know, they get up to some stuff, but she never goes as far as Byron.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you've got to think about why this might happen, or what's the cause of this, what's the root of this, and yeah, you could look closely to home, you could look at school life, there's so many factors to so many things, but Di's got it so much better, and I think that's evident.
So you said you got to meet the real Lady Di. Can you talk a little bit about her? I'm so interested.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I did actually message her as well not long ago, and I was like, babe, I am about to start doing some press stuff to just like make sure that people know about the show. Gotta represent Knots. I said, gotta represent you. Like, you have allowed me to do you the honour of showcasing you. And we just got to know each other. I got to ask everything I needed to. And honestly, we just got to just have a laugh. She is so funny. Because Paris was even like, oh my God, it's like there's two of you. And I was like, oh my God, thank you. I was like, so I must be doing something right then, do you know what I mean? So yeah, she's a bundle of joy. And we message all the time now. And in fact, I was on a night out one time and I bumped into her. It was so weird. It was mad. But yeah, she is a saint.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, honestly.
I'm glad to hear she's doing well.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's, you know, the book is based on Paris's life. It's not word for word, you know, she's changed the names and that kind of thing a little bit. And, you know, there's that artistic license there. But it's nice to know that the real people are still about and that kind of thing.
And doing well.
Yeah.
And still being themselves.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Hi, this is Sophie from Left Lion, Nottingham's iconic culture magazine. Each month we publish a beautiful free magazine that shines a light on the art, music, food, literature and more that makes Nottingham such a vibrant and creative city to live in. It's a bit unusual for a local print magazine to exist these days, but we've managed to keep going for over 20 years, giving the city's artists, photographers and writers a platform to publish their work. We distribute 15,000 copies in over 300 venues across the county, and you can find Left Lion in every local library, every Castle Rock pub, in all active Nottingham leisure centres, and all the best bars, cafes and hangouts in Nottingham. If you're ever in town at the start of the month, you may have seen our Left Lion bike rolling around the streets. In line with our pledge to be a carbon neutral company, we deliver our magazines on foot, by electric bicycle, or where strictly necessary, by van. You can also read the full magazine and lots more for free at leftline.co.uk. Check out the events listings on our website to find out what's going on in Notts, and if you'd like to promote your business or organisation with us, please visit leftline.co.uk/advertise. What was your favourite scene to film?
Oh my goodness. Don't, because do you know how many times I've been asked this? No, not in that way. I have no idea. I haven't had an answer to give to anybody ever. Because there's just so much. Because it's either, oh, I don't know. Do you know what? Oh, can I say it? Let's just say either the script in episode 4. The script with Di, Sash and Byron and the two guys.
Okay.
The back and forth montage
thing.
How to get the... Yeah.
Yes.
It's either that one or the toilet brush one. Just because...
yeah.
Just because they're so crazy and so fun to do. You're just non-stop laughing off the cameras, you know. It's insane. And the amount of times you have to do it because of all the different angles. And it's just like, is this really our job?
Absolutely, yeah. You
know? So I think I'd have to say them. But honestly, all the scenes were great. I'm obsessed. Yeah, Di was in some great scenes throughout.
Yeah, absolutely.
What was your favourite scene?
Oh, blimey. I mean, I loved all the clubbing scenes.
Okay, nice.
Just because I used to go to 82 and then G1 when I was a teenager. And, like, was in those spaces. Obviously, it's slightly different, but, you know, they're just... There's a lot of fun. I mean, there's a lot of drama, and that sort of comes into those nights out kind of thing. And they're just the adventures after hours that they just disappear onto. We're like, what is going to happen? I've also really loved, which I want to get onto in a little bit, but I loved the final scenes with Di, Byron and Sasha. You know, that made me really happy, you know, as part of the story.
It's a joyous feeling just to see them actually... I don't know if I'm, like, going to spoil anything, so I always get really worried. But is it more of, like, a joyous thing just to see that they are okay?
Yes. And there is, again, I'm scared to put in spoilers, but, I mean, you know. I was just very happy with the, like, I thought it was a good resolution of their friendship. So the show was filmed in Nottingham and South Wales, is that correct?
Yeah, so it was filmed in Wales, Bristol, and then a little bit of Nottingham, but mainly for the drone shots.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So there's some key locations in the book that we kind of just touched on, which were like hubs for the LGBTQ community back in the day. So there was 82 and NG1. And today we've got things like the Lord Roberts and the Foresters, and then we've got like Glad Rags, we've got Notts Pride, we've got Notts Trans Pride.
Yeah.
And like, do you think that there's something to be said for like the queer community having these spaces that they can just, you know, they were allowed to just be absolutely free? Today it's a bit more integrated and open.
I see, the thing is, I like how it's open and, you know, the thing is with queer people, they're very accepting because they know what it's like to want to be accepted, right? And queer spaces, we just need more of them and they just need to not be disturbed, because if you don't like it, stay away from them.
Mm-hmm.
That's as simple as it is. Yeah, I think that's it. If you don't like them, stay away from them. Queer spaces are important to us because we need them. It's our place where we feel safe, where we get to enjoy ourselves, let our hair down and just be free. You know, we feel liberated there. So please, let's get some more of them. Because knots, it's like, even when I was growing up, I mean, I'm still growing up, but you know, like, when I was in me major clubbing days with my fake IDs and stuff, it's like there wasn't too many gay places to go. And if they were, it still didn't have a queer feeling to it anyway. Seriously, the girls have took me on some nights out, the queerest nights I've ever experienced in my life. I didn't, like, technically I didn't even understand queer before filming this show, because there's just a totally different world out there that I had not been aware of. Like, well, I'd seen it online and stuff, but genuinely in my life, no. Yeah. I just not seen it.
I thought, like, the clubbing scenes, like I was saying, are really, that, like, clubbing is something that really brings people together, and they were some of my favourite scenes, and the music was brilliant throughout the show as well. Like, it's quite nostalgic, but it's still, it works so well.
Yeah. The music's great, innit?
Yeah, and it kind of started off quite poppy.
Uh-huh.
And then got a bit darker and chaotic as it went on, which I noticed, which I really liked.
Yeah, it has to follow the story, and it does that so great. And I think, you know, even, like I said, obviously I wasn't really old enough to be involved in the music scene then, but my mum would listen to some of the tracks, and then, you know, I'm watching it, and then we're in this scene, and this song's coming on, I'm like, oh my God, my mum used to blast this all the time.
Yeah.
She'd be pumping this in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it's just, it's crazy.
Yeah, this, like, I think music is just one of those things that people can really connect over.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, these clubs and bars that were just hubs, because you wouldn't have online ways of finding your community and that kind of thing,
yeah.
Which is, like, they were like destinations that you'd have to go to and find your people there.
Mm.
So I think that's, yeah.
I like that though. I think that's what I prefer compared to my generation, because I actually don't like being online too much. The whole in-person interaction that you would have back then, I mean, I know they just started bringing out these Nokia bricks and stuff, but it was still very much in-person, and you'd go knock on people's doors, you know, are you coming out? Or I prefer all that stuff.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think, like, so just to go into a little bit about the sort of setting, like, obviously Byron grows up in Hucknall, and a lot of the story is about being an outcast and experiencing bullying, and the scenes in Hucknall, I think, have this, like, claustrophobic small town vibe.
Mm-hmm.
So a bit of a weird fact is that I grew up in Hucknall and actually went to the same school as Paris.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that feeling of hostility. Like, I was just a weird goth kid, but we still got, like, homophobic slurs, got people spitting on you, tripping you up, like, I'm going to wait for you after school kind of thing. And, like, there's a scene where Byron gets attacked, which just gave me goosebumps. And then Di also experiences violence. And, like, as a group of friends, they discuss it quite, like, almost casually, like you were saying, with the script. It's just a part of what
they have to
be ready for.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it just shows how, like, resilient people are in that community. And I'd really like to think that things have changed, but we've also had the recent court ruling about the legal definition of a woman, and, for example, Byron and Di wouldn't be able to use the ladies' toilets now, technically, in a lot of places. So, obviously, being born a little bit later, like, where do you think we're at today with that, as a community?
I thought we were getting better and better and better as the years went on, but I feel like now we're just, we're going backwards again, especially with the Supreme Court ruling. I think it's absurd what they've done, and now they're having repercussions that they were warned about. You know, I can't remember what just happened recently. I think it was a security guard went into, they've kicked out a cis woman at the toilets because they thought that she was a trans woman,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's like, well, now you're just looking at people, mm-hmm. you're accusing them of looking trans, whatever that is, and then you're kicking them out of the toilet when you've got it all completely wrong, and that's just, it's just absurd. So I think that whole law, it wasn't thought through. There was nobody that was trans involved in that decision.
Exactly.
And it's just wrong. So I don't know what's going on in the world. There's so many messed up things going on in the world right now, and that's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a shame, but all we can do is sort of like keep on working on building allyship. Like I'm an ally for all trans people, for
mm-hmm.
you know, sort of all communities who struggle, because I know what it's like to struggle,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we need help when we struggle, otherwise it just makes things harder.
I think the series really demonstrates that there's like, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people growing up in school or, you know, in homes where they're not accepted, and it really shows that you can find your people. And I love the friendship arc between Byron, Di and Sasha. Like, despite the dramas that they have, they just look out for each other. And can you talk a little bit about their friendship and what it was like working as like a trio?
Yeah, well, I was going to say their friendship is very much just like mine, Ellis and Hannah's in real life. But without the feistiness, of course, from Sasha, because she can be quite difficult to Byron throughout the series. It's not like that in real life, I can reassure you.
Mm-hmm.
But no, honestly, their friendship is something that we can all recognise, that we've either had or something that we've always really wanted with somebody, and it's brilliant to see them have, because the experiences that these girls go through in life, goodness gracious me, if they didn't have each other to talk to about it, to even relate, because not everyone can relate to stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
but they just so happen to all be very similar, in many different ways, but very similar people, and they'd found each other and just form this instant bond where it's like Byron seeing Lady Di and going, oh my gosh, you sort of, like, I mean, in the original script, it was, are you a man or a woman, when Byron first met Lady Di, and it's like, you know, Byron is seeing this person, and it's just being like, God, they are beautiful. And Byron's then like, God, how do I get that beautiful? And it's like, then the friendship builds. And then Byron's like, I want to look like you. Then Lady Di's like, well, you can. And then, you know, we see that transformation with Byron. And I think it's beautiful, because without each other, they would have never got to where they are, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the important thing about friendship. Your friends really do. And it's chosen family. Even if your family at home is bad, which Byron's is,
yeah.
he's still got a family within the divas.
Absolutely.
And that's beautiful. Yeah,
it's very much sort of, you can't be what you can't see kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can inspire, like, I love you know, I've got memories with certain friends where they've opened up about something, and it's made me go, oh, I'm allowed to talk about that, that's amazing. And
yeah.
I just love those little things, and it just opens your world. So I thought,
it's
yeah.
amazing, isn't it?
Yeah,
again, it just like sets you even more free to feel even more comfortable with those people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you have comfort, then you can have anything.
Yeah. So in terms of, I thought the show was a really good representation of how like gender is socially constructed, which is a very like nuanced topic that a lot of people aren't quite on board with. But Michael Socha, as Byron's dad, I thought was really well played. Like, he's the hardest man in Hucknall, and he's
yeah.
similar to the Liam character. They're both like performing this role of like traditional hetero masculinity, just because he's conforming to a traditional masculine role, it doesn't make him a good person. And just because the divas are exploring a different identity. It doesn't make them bad people. And people see this sort of binary, which I just thought was really interesting. You know, if we've got shows like Adolescence that have been out and they're just talking about this and just sort of feeling it out for people that you can, there's a huge spectrum, you know? Do you think this will help? Do you hope that this will help open some people's eyes, or do you think it's sort of going to be singing to the choir a little bit?
I think, again, in my opinion, this show is, it's a hard hitter. I mean, instantly, the first episode always makes me cry. There's this one scene with Byron, the mum and the dad, and it's just horrible for me. But I think it's going to hit home for a lot of people. I think if there are dads that are like Steve, who is played by Michael Sucker, if there are dads like that out there and they see the show, I think they'll definitely give themselves time to think about what they've seen and probably reflect on themselves, which is, yeah, what we want from the show. I feel like there's so much to take away from the show and learn, but also many people are going to be educated. Many people are going to be like, what is this nonsense? We've never known anything like it. Maybe because they haven't lived a working class life. Maybe because they haven't lived a life where, I don't know, they just haven't lived a life where there is sexually active, you know? This is Paris's life. It's a very unique story. Because again, what we're not doing here is setting the standard for trans people, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think what we're doing is telling a very unique story, and that's what happened in Paris's life. And it's real, these are real humans. And there's more people out there like this, like all the characters. And I think if we can showcase this very real, authentically and raw, they can see it and they can feel things from it and then maybe just, reflect on their life and do something about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like a lot of the like very masculine characters seem quite sort of a bit hurt and confused as well, and they're not able to like express it in a very healthy way. It sometimes comes off as violence or shunning or that just ignoring. And I think hopefully people can slowly, as we have these conversations and different types of media come out and different role models, hopefully that's going to open that identity up a little bit.
That's what we want and need. Mm-hmm. It's that whole thing again as well of just like a man, how should a man be?
Because
You know, I imagine that Steve's dad is probably gonna have had that sort of toxic masculinity about him as well, and maybe that's where Steve got it from, you know. And it's like how, but it's just sort of where does it come from and what does society think that a man should be and how they should act. But, it's a difficult one, but hopefully with shows like this and representation and authenticity, we can show the people what's going on out there and how people actually think and what goes on in their lives and just make them aware.
I mean, there's... Yeah, it is having those role models. Like, I love the scenes where it goes back to Big Brother Nadia and Big Brother. And you know, that was huge at the time, the show, but it wasn't particularly huge that she was trans.
Yeah.
It was a part of her identity, but it wasn't, like, the biggest side of the story, really. Which, again, goes back to what we were saying about things sort of backtracking a little bit, unfortunately. So it's quite a chaotic whirlwind, the show, towards the end of the book as well. But as Byron begins to sort of transition and starts and moves to Brighton and reconciles with a lot of things that have happened in their life, there's kind of a sense of positivity and hope, which I really, really enjoyed. So obviously you've met Lady Di. What would you like to think Di does after the show?
Oh gosh. After the show, well, Steffi's always liked musical theatre, so, or obviously she's a dancer, so I would just imagine she would really just focus on what she likes. She's been through too much to just do stuff that she doesn't like anymore. She's going to put herself first, she's going to leave Knots eventually. As much as she loves it and it is a baby, she has to leave Knots because realistically it can hold you back because there's bigger opportunities out elsewhere in the world. So I can see Lady Di going to chase some enormous, huge things in life. And then maybe going in the dancing field and being like a backup for Beyonce or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or just, yeah, like musical theater or just something singy, dancy and big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's nice, yeah. And, yeah, just exploring all of her talents and who she is, I guess.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
And obviously just partying still, because I don't think she'd ever give up partying. Will she get married or will she carry on just sleeping with the whole city?
Who knows?
Who knows? I don't know.
So I would love to see more of this show. Like, it wasn't... I will be watching it again. But obviously the story is based on the book and it felt like a really natural ending for the series. Do you think there's any scope for a part two? Would you love it, there to be a part two?
It depends. It's up to Paris, isn't it? Because this is just an adaptation of the book. I mean, obviously they couldn't fit everything in the book into the show. They could potentially... They could do something with bits that they didn't include. They could then turn it into a completely fictional, non-fictional mm-hmm. story. But I don't know.
Mm.
If you want me to be totally honest, like, I've got no idea.
Yeah.
It would be fun, but also it was like, I mean, it was a long time. It was a long time, and then there's all this you've got to do. I was having to shave my whole body every day. I was having to tuck every day. I was having to wear heels every day. It was a lot, you know. So I feel like I'd need, if they were going to do a reboot, like, they could, even if it wasn't like a series two straight away, they could reboot it in like a couple of years, do you know what I mean? When we're a bit older as well, so we can see, like, what are they up to now?
Yeah.
Now.
It's just like saying goodbye to people that you've come to love when, you know, when a series ends and you've really enjoyed their story.
Yeah, but I think, honestly, with everyone in this show, they're phenomenal, phenomenal actors, especially Ellis. We're going to... Ellis as Baron, isn't he phenomenal?
Mm.
No, like, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just a great lead, somebody that's really easy to work with. They're collaborative and just talented. Like, to have that weight of that many scenes and to kill them like that.
Yeah, yeah.
There'll be more characters that they'll create that you can fall in love with. So even if these ones don't come back, don't worry.
Absolutely, yeah.
But I hope they do too.
Yeah. Do you have any plans for what's next for you? And do you have any more roles coming up or... You're just going to ride with it and see what happens?
Well, actually, I was, like, agentless, so I sort of finished the job and then just, like, started... Well, we went on holiday and just, like, lived for a bit. And then I just got a new agent, so I'm now with a guy called Alfred at the Artist Partnership. He's absolutely phenomenal. But yeah, no, I've just started like auditioning for things again, and hopefully something will come up like really soon. But when people see this show, I feel like that's gonna help me be seen more anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So something, I can feel something coming very soon, but that's just like, you know, the manifestation in me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm sure it will after people have seen it.
Hopefully.
Yeah, is there anything else about the show that you want to talk about? Is there anything we haven't discussed?
Gosh. Yeah, I mean, okay, so one thing that we can just like sort of have as like an announcement, it was originally meant to be on BBC Three. It's now on BBC One as well.
That's brilliant.
I know, it's just the BBC, they really like the show. So they put it on BBC One as well as BBC Three. So we're just really, really buzzing for that and can't believe it. And really, I just hope, something that I am really proud of is what I've brought to Lady Di, but I really just hope it resonates with, I would say trans people, but I want to say anyone, but mainly trans people, because the audition process was actually really hard. Like, I even spoke to casting on like the decision making and stuff, and they was like, you know, they met loads of trans people along the way, and for some of the scenes it was quite hard for them because they would have to sort of play boy mode, and that's sort of going back in time for them, and it was quite uncomfortable because it was giving them this sort of gender dysphoria, and it's just it's just not nice. So that was hard for a couple of trans people that had to go for the audition. And then there was, yeah, you know, I met so many different types of people regardless, and I feel really grateful that I was given the opportunity to play Lady Di. So I just hope that I've represented this trans character specifically in a great light, and people really fall in love with her, and they just see her like a human being, because it's just what trans people are, human beings. And people just, people are honestly targeting communities and individuals for zero reason. Like, what is it about this human? They're not doing anything. They're just living their own life. Mind your own business, let them live. This is just your average girl. Just, you know, leave her. And that's Di. She wouldn't harm a fly. She really wouldn't.
Yeah.
So I want people to just see her, fall in love with her, and then, yeah, as long as they're happy. Well, I feel like I've done a really good job regardless, and I'm really proud of what I've done, and I'm happy, and I feel like I've sort of nailed characterization. And the main thing for me is Steffi is extremely happy. So I've sort of hit the nail on the head there, because that's, I just wanted to make sure that she was okay with me representing her, and she's like, oh my god, you got me.
That's amazing.
She's like, you've just got me spot on. I was like, oh my god. I was like, okay, well, that's all I need to know. And then yeah, so I just hope other people can see that, you know, this is just a normal human being that just so happens to be trans.
Yeah,
now see all trans people like this, please.
Yeah, and just also represent like the those little aggressions or big aggressions that happen, and you know, you, the empathy that you should feel for people who are struggling in different situations that are completely different.
Yeah.
You know, I hope it opens some people's eyes in that way.
Yeah, so real.
But yes, I absolutely love it. Yeah, are you going to have like a little watch party, or what are you going to be?
Well, we've got the premiere. Yeah. So South by Southwest are coming to London. They're hosting their festival in London for the first time ever. It's usually in America. But London's got it this year, and our show is headlining on one of the nights. So that is our premiere. It's sold out, it's ready to go. We are just doing, wrapping up our last bits of press, and then we'll go to the premiere, and then it's all the way that everyone can see it and binge it and do whatever they want with it and tweet about it, or well, not Twitter, but they can Instagram about it, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for coming in today and talking to us.
No, thank you.
I've enjoyed it. It's been a real pleasure, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited to see people's responses.
Same. Well, I'm glad I've seen yours.
Yeah. I'm beaming.
Yeah, no, honestly. I love hearing it, because it's just so different, and it's like, oh my God, we've been waiting so long to see what anyone on the outside thinks who doesn't have a bias, you know? So thank you. I really appreciate it. And it just gives me higher hopes for the response of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And thank you, honestly, thank you for having me here. It's been so nice.
Left Line Magazine is Nottingham's free printed culture guide. We aim to shine a light on the city and its culture, each month bringing you between 40 and 56 pages of independent local events and culture-based journalism. Every month, we distribute between 10 and 15,000 copies for free in over 300 venues across the county. For example, you can find copies in every local library, every Castle Rock pub, in all active Nottingham leisure centres, and in many other places besides. In line with our pledge to be a carbon neutral company, copies are delivered by our team on foot, by electric bike, or, if necessary, by vehicle. You can also read the full magazine online for free at leftline.co.uk/magazine. If you'd like to promote your business or organisation with us, please visit leftline.co.uk/advertise. And if you'd like to pitch us a story, please email editorial@leftline.co.uk.
And that was Laquan Lewis, everyone. I had a thoroughly enjoyable chat with him today, and I highly recommend checking out What It Feels Like for a Girl, which is out on 3rd of June on BBC Three and iPlayer. It's a wild ride, the soundtrack is brilliant, it's beautifully made, and I'm honestly really looking forward to giving it another watch and seeing what everyone's reception to the show is. Thank you for listening to this episode, and don't forget to check out some of our previous episodes, in which we've spoken to the likes of director Shane Meadows, musicians Pete Box and Natalie Duncan, and Hacienda DJ Graham Parks. Signing off for now, until next time, bye!